I'm so thankful to be here, and it's good to see you. Brother Jeff, it's good to see you tonight. Would you mind giving a little testimony of how the missions conference went? Of course, you all were aware that Jeff and Vanetta had the opportunity to go up to Nova Scotia again for a missions conference. And Brother Jeff, can you come up and just share a brief testimony of what the Lord did in the conference and how God used you there? That'd be a great blessing. Thank you. It's good to have you back too, brother. Amen.
Well, we did get the opportunity to go to Canada again, and the church that we went to is one that we've been in a few times before, Sackville Independent Baptist. They're a small church. They probably have about 50 at their most, but they are very, very much like our church. It's funny. You go all over the world, and Christians are Christians, and they behave like Christians, and it's wonderful. They all were very loving, very kind and gracious. They had us hosted in homes, and we loved it. It was great. Had a great time. The way they did their missions conference, Thursday night they have a service, the opening for the missions conference. On Friday they have a youth night, so we did kind of a fall festival. Saturday they have a big banquet, and they have it at a local facility, and we were hosted there. All the lady missionaries got to give their testimonies, and Vanetta was extremely nervous, as she always is, but she did really, really great. And so there was a veteran missionary that is there in Nova Scotia from Bob Jones in North Carolina, and so he grew up in North Carolina, went to Bob Jones, and was called to Nova Scotia. One of the things that we see in Nova Scotia, there's a big dearth of pastors and leadership in churches. There are churches scattered all over Nova Scotia that don't have pastors. So there are a number of different places that are there. They're established somewhat, but they lack leadership. And so this gentleman, he pastors a church on the West Shore, and then he also does things in their school system with the youth and things like that. But they also go in and preach at other churches for conferences and things because they're just short of pastors. That's one of the things that Daniel Jenkins, our missionary up there, is doing. He is filling in as pastor 3 weeks out of a month at another church because they are so shorthanded on pastors. And then the other pastor or the other missionary that was at the missions conference was actually a retired missionary from Saskatchewan, Canada. He actually was born in Saskatchewan, got saved, went to a Bible college there in Canada. He and his wife have been missionaries in Brazil for 36 years. Wow. And retired from Brazil to come back to Canada and help breathe new life into a failing church there. So he's pastoring a church there, has just retired from missionary work, but he's still pastoring and doing a great job there. It was really neat for us as beginners to be around veteran missionaries who have so much experience, and they are still just as on fire for the Lord as they can be. Amen. So the church there, they're on fire for the Lord. They're growing. Their missions budget has increased this year, so they're excited about that. But it is really a blessing to get to go to another place where Christians are, and they're the body of Christ, same way we're supposed to be. Yeah. So it was a real blessing. We thank y'all for praying for us while we were gone.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, brother. Yeah, appreciate that testimony, and they're going to have a lot more like that as the Lord opens up doors for them to go and present their ministry and pray for them. That God will just give them favor. And I was telling the church the other day, Jeff, that you know you're calling pastors, especially on Wednesday, is a day that he really designated to do a lot of try to communication correspondence. So if you think about that, pray that the Lord would open up doors on Wednesdays, especially to schedule those meetings, to schedule those conferences, and certainly want to see the Davises get their support quickly and to be able to just continue doing what God's called them to do. All right, well, we're there in Ephesians chapter 4 tonight. If you have your handout, that'd be great. I'm not sure if we have any extras in the foyer or not. Billy, you might want to take a peek back there. Heath, I don't know if you see any extra handouts. I don't see any. I apologize. I'll try to have those available. Usually I try to have some extra copies available just in case you forget yours. But we are, if you have it, you can, your outline, you can break that out. We're picking up on the last point of our section or on stewarding friendship. Stewarding friendship is where we are. And we've been looking, first of all, if you want to jot down the notes that we've had so far, the outline is we talked about stewarding with truth, in friendships, putting away lying, no deception. Real friends are real people who are real about who they are. It's just that's one thing that will strengthen a friendship, I think, further and stronger than anything else is just good old pure honesty. Just being straightforward with each other. And then we talked about how value truth. You can't have a good relationship with anybody if truth is not the foundation. And so we steward friendships with truth. And then secondly, we talked about stewarding with trust, stewarding our relationships, our friendships with trust. And we took some time on that. I thought it was important. I believe the Lord used it. I think He did. I trust He did. I know He used it in my life. But when it comes to stewarding with trust, we have to understand what destroys trust. And one of those we looked at in depth was anger. Anger destroys trust. And we have to learn, as our passage tells us there in Ephesians chapter 4, how we can't be angry people. We all struggle with anger in some way, and I preached on that. And I hope that you really took that very personally and just say, Lord, where is it that I'm getting angry? And Lord, help me not to be an angry person, because you're not going to be a good friend if you're an angry person. That's why the Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man. Okay, lest you be like him. And so we all are working towards that. And I know we're really trying to give a special emphasis in our home on that, with parenting and just the kids with each other. It's just trying to point out that's not going to build our relationships. And so may God help us. But also, anger invites satanic opposition. That was the sub point under steward with trust. We can't get, hey folks, let's all agree tonight, we don't want to give Satan an inch. We don't want to give him any space to put his foot in. And that's what anger will do. Anger opens the door and really invites Satan in. And I don't believe demons can possess believers. However, I do believe demons and the devil can have strongholds with believers. And we have to pray that, Lord God, please don't let there be a stronghold in my heart. And Lord, let me not let anger be an avenue that Satan finds that stronghold. But thirdly, let's finish up this section of stewarding friendship with this point here. Steward with testimony. Steward, that's point number three, steward with testimony. You got your place there in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read a couple verses here. It says here, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that's building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And then verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this Wednesday night meeting. I pray that you would help me to be concise, Lord, but I pray that I would be absolutely 100% controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. I yield myself to you, Holy Ghost, and I love you and I believe you, and I know you're doing a work in my life and every life in this room. And so we just want to recognize your power. We want to recognize your work of pointing us to Jesus and living the life of Jesus through us. And we believe you're doing it. But God, we just come yielded again tonight. Teach us to be good friends, Lord, and teach us to find good friends. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here we are. Steward with testimony. Steward with testimony. That is so important. when it comes to being a friend and also finding a good friend. God wants us to have good friendships. And really our closest friends, those who we would say share our hearts with, okay? Those are the people that we get real close to, all right? Good friends are people that we trust, and they trust us, and it's an intimate part of our soul. And it is God's design, especially in the context of God's people. But I will say this clearly. It is especially designed, and this is what's important. It's especially designed for Christians to be close friends. Not that you, I don't want to get ahead of myself, not that you can't be friends, and we should be friends with lost people that don't believe the gospel. There should be, especially being friendly to them. But when Jesus told his disciples, "By this all the world may know that ye are my disciples by your love one for another," he was talking about the believers, that love, that friendship love that they are to have. And we are, as I mentioned, the example of Brother Wes gave when he and Ashley were getting married. Michaela's dad told him, "Look, you're going to find your best friends in church. Those people you get to know and serve the Lord with and live life with and worship the Lord with." It's so true. And that's kind of the direction I believe we're going to go tonight in studying and stewarding with our testimony. We're privileged to have friends that motivate us to be godly. Wouldn't you say that? We are privileged to have friends that motivate us to be godly. I look across this room and I see people that motivate me to be godly. And I thank you for that. And we should constantly seek to do that. Our goal is to find those that can help us and also for those that we also can pour into. Our friendship should bring a spiritual vitality and strength to our friends' lives. That's what we want to do. We certainly don't want to be a stumbling block, do we? But your closest friends, ideally, will be those that you are serving the Lord with, and that you are seeking the Lord with. Just that kindred spirit that God gives His children. Just being able to connect. It is heart to heart friendships, and these relationships we purposefully invest in, don't we? And the goal, and many times, is not only when we are being edified and strengthened, but we also understand it's a responsibility to make new friends out there in the world. And I'm going to talk about a little bit of difference and how we would consider them a different type of friend. I want to be clear on that. But because a friend that is in the body of Christ and that knows Christ, we're in the Lord together. So it's going to be different from a person that's outside of the body of Christ, though I can have some similarities and maybe, you know, being able to encourage each other in some ways, but nothing like my brother or sister in Christ. Those are going to be your best friends. It should be. But the Lord is using us as we go out, and our neighbors, business folks, public servants, and others. The Lord's going to cross our paths that we are going to be able to influence. Letter A under steward with testimony is it's important for us to be pure in our example as a friend. To be pure in our example. As I mentioned, it's important to understand the difference, what I was just referring to as far as making our friends with God's people, but also with lost people. God does not call us, and I say again, God does not call us to make friendship with the world. That has got to be a clear, a doctrinal understanding that God's people are to not make friendship with the world. He says that when we seek friendship with the world, we deny our loyalty to Christ. So we have to, James 4:4, you see the verse in your handout, "But ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. And he says, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, in no way is James implying that we can't be friendly to people in the world. We are to be friendly, and we ought to be building relationships for the gospel's sake. But what he is saying is that we set aside our loyalty to Christ just to fit into this dark world. That's friendship with the world. When we compromise our conviction of being a light, we, as I mentioned on Sunday, what is boldness? It's unashamedly speaking of Jesus Christ. And we're not ashamed to do that. But we know the Lord. He associated and graciously associated with those that needed salvation. He ate dinner with them and supper with them. God's not calling us to isolate ourselves. I like the illustration I heard one time when it comes to, you know, trying to be friendly to the world and encourage them and build those relationships, is that God has not called us to isolate ourselves. He's called us to insulate ourselves. It's insulation, not isolation. We are to be out and seeking to make an impact. But what I believe is important, your soul friends, those that you just are deeply connected with, need to be believers that are sharpening you and that you are sharpening. That is I believe, what the Lord is wanting us to do. Now, again, we will be building relationships with unsaved people. It should cultivate those, steward it with God's guidance. And He will give you certainly that insight that you need. But here's one of the greatest friendships that you and I must strive for. Mark it down. Our friendship with God. Our friendship with God. I hope you see God tonight as a friend. He is a friend. Yes, He's my judge. He's my Savior. He's my King. But it is absolutely clear in Scripture that God Almighty is your friend and my friend. I'm his son, but I'm also his friend. If I'm walking with him and seeking to honor him, he calls me his friend. And that's what you see. Maybe that text is there in your outline, James 2:23. That's the testimony that Abraham had. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And notice what the Bible says about Abraham. And he was called what? The friend of God. Isn't that a wonderful title to have? To be a friend of God. So we understand that that's where we are going to be the best kind of friend, is when our best friend is God Almighty. And that comes with walking with Him and talking with Him and communing with Him and resting in Him and trusting Him. It is going to flourish our other friendships. But letter B here, we see that we need to be pure in our example, but we also need to be persistent in edifying. That's the letter B here. To be a good friend, to steward friendship, is to be persistent in edifying. As we value truth and as we conquer anger, as we choose forgiveness, and we truly grow into a position to meet one of the greatest needs of any person, understand what that's going to be is going to be encouragement. Encouragement. I need encouragement. Remember what Dale Cunningham, defined courage as? He was doing leadership training. That helped me to understand what encouragement was. He says encouragement is putting courage in someone's heart. Wasn't that good? That really stuck with me. Encouragement is putting courage in someone's heart. Whether that be a good word, just a kind act, being there for someone, just helping, praying, sharing a verse, it's putting courage. It's going to be all right, sister. It's going to be all right, brother. God's working. God's helping. God's with us. It's going to be okay. Lord loves us. When you speak that, you are building that person up in Christ. And I pray that God would just cultivate a great spirit of encouragement here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. that we would be constantly putting courage in each other's hearts in this hard, dark world that there's a lot of battles going on, and God knows we need encouragement. Notice what it says. We don't want to let that corrupt communication in verse 29 come out of our mouth. That tears down. That just rots people. That spoils people. That's what that word corrupt means. It means it rots and corrupts. We don't want that. No, we want to build up. And that's what it says. But that which is good to the use of edifying. You ought to write, if you don't have that in your Bible or in your notes, that word edifying simply means to build up. Why? That it may minister. That means give grace unto the hearers. Hey, you know, those friends, those godly friends that you have, you know, and that you desire to be, it's going to be filled with encouragement. If you got a friend that you're just constantly being discouraged by, and never is always negative, always complaining, always criticizing others constantly. Now, we all get a strip of that. Let's don't be too pious here tonight. We all have flare-ups, don't we? We all get flare-ups. But I'm talking about habitually. Listen, that's an angry person. And you have to pray for that person and you talk to them. But just listen, let's seek to do and say things that are going to build up. And that's why Colossians 4:6 talks about let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. So it's strengthening one another in a spirit of grace. And that's why Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance. I love that. The countenance of his friend. You know, it's like when you sisters get together for fellowship and you brothers get together for fellowship. I've heard it said one time, hey, let's let the sparks fly. Our iron sharpeneth iron. Let's be an encouragement to one another. Strengthen each other's countenance in the Lord. And Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. A brother is born for adversity. Letter C here is we understand that we need to be, as stewarding friendship, as patient in forgiving. Patient in forgiving. You know, there's this wonderful doctrine of forgiveness that we can't hear enough about and we can't practice it enough because it's who God is. God is the greatest forgiver ever. Amen? He is the great forgiver. So I think about this tonight. When it comes to friendships and even your relationship, if you're married here tonight, even with your spouse, this is the category we can consider ourselves. There's two categories we could consider ourselves to be in. Are we a scorekeeper? Are we a grace giver? A scorekeeper is one who does not forgive. There's resentment. There's always something hanging over the head. It's never released, that debt. It's always stacking up. And Peter was a scorekeeper, even though he was trying to ask the Lord, how many times do I need to forgive? You know, is that going to be enough? And of course, that passage is found in Matthew 18. I think you even have it in there in your notes. But Peter was evidently a scorekeeper. He tried to keep the score of the offenses and the forgivenesses even. He's like, hey, let's keep this tat for tat. But there was a time that he wouldn't have to forgive is what he was hoping. Can I say this as boldly and compassionately as I possibly can? Church, we never, ever stop forgiving. Doesn't mean that you have to put yourself in a position where you're going to constantly get hurt and be taken advantage of. I'm not suggesting that. But when it comes to biblical forgiveness, God's people are always doing that. You will do until the day you and I go to heaven. We will forgiveness. And what is forgiveness? It is releasing the debt. Somebody offended you, there's a debt there. You owe me, you offended me, you hurt me. And what it is, it's releasing that debt. You don't owe me anything anymore. I'm forgiving you of that debt. Again, it is so important. And to be a good friend, you're going to be a great forgiver. And marriage counseling, I'm always telling people, look, I'm telling the husband and wife or the to be, I'm saying, look, a marriage is made up of two great forgivers. And I try to always make that a point because, boy, is it, it's just so true. You live under the same roof with sinners. We're going to be offending each other. Okay. Am I alone on that? You know, I also heard this too. When you forgive, you set two people free, and one of them is you. Forgiving one another. So, in closing, where do we find these type of friends? Is this a figment of our imagination? Do these type of friends really exist that forgive and encourage and who are honest and who don't deceive and are real people and are wanting our best interest and to build us up? Do they exist? Yes! They're here tonight! Friends, I love you, friends. Everybody in this room tonight, I thank God for you. And you look across, look around the room. Everybody look around. I'm looking at all of you. Y'all look around at each other. Look at these friends. Amen. That's the type of friends we're going to be. And we have a church that is going to be about friendships. And we got to work towards this. Anybody in this room knows that relationships, get it? Relationships take work. Relationships don't just happen. And God has given us this beautiful design called the local church. It's God's design. He put it into place. It's the doctrine, and it's where God's people come together and build relationships with another. We come and we're friends with each other. What's God been doing in your life this week, Miss Kathy? And how can I pray for you, Miss Kathy? There's a deep, intimate friendship in our hearts with one another. And, of course, naturally so. There's some are going to connect more so than others, especially as a congregation grows. You know, that's just, of course, naturally going to be the case. And then you find it more so and even in small groups, Sunday school classes, Wednesday night meeting like tonight. But God designed the local church as God's friendship network. And it is relationships is something I want us to really give some attention to, even as we go in prayer tonight. It's through the church that God lavishly provides close, encouraging, sustaining friendships that encourage us as we grow in Him. I want to commend you all on this, and this is something I want to praise the Lord for. The local church, there's some top reasons we have. The local church that God said should be happening. We know it's to come together and it's to worship the Lord, sing unto the Lord, praise the Lord. It's to hear the Word of God preached and taught. These things are obvious. It's to serve the Lord together. We minister together, different things that come up. Whatever it is, we're always serving the Lord together. Those are building those friendships. You know, you'll connect with people serving the Lord very quickly. Whether it's just making breakfast together, whether it's going on a missions trip together, whether it's doing a work day together, where it's doing a VBS together, you just connect with God's people in the local church and you just become better friends. And I want to commend our church on this. This is why I think it's so important to come as much as you can. As much as you possibly can without providentially being hindered. Because local church is not just a place we come and give a nod to the other, hear a message, and go home. We miss it if that's the case. Because what we do to come to the local church, yes, we come to hear the Word of God, but we come to talk to each other. And you can't do that unless you're here. And we do that before and after the services. And I really want to, it's one of my goals in 2026 is encourage our church to even try to grow in our coming to church a little earlier when possible. Just those first, those 10 minutes before the service, the 15 minutes before the service, we talk about life and encourage each other. And then afterwards, I'm going to be honest with you. It would hurt my feelings a bit if I had to bring a sleeping bag to put on this pew right here because folks were fellowshipping up until 9, 10, 11 o'clock. I say that maybe somewhat facetiously, but actually I'm honest, being honest. Wouldn't hurt my feelings a bit. I love it when God's people hang out and talk and be just to encourage each other. And then some people wonder why they don't feel connected in a local church. And sometimes it's because I'm afraid they just don't, because they don't come. And you can't feel connected to people unless you are in person with them. I'm all about, you know, what do they call it? From the screen, virtual church. There's a place to have that, I suppose. If you're sick, praise God, turn it on. But we all know that never can replace in person, face to face. So let's continue being good friends. Let's grow our friendships. Let's be together, hang out together, love each other. And man, God's going to use that wonderfully. So you guard those relationships vigilantly. You invest purposefully and value them highly. Let's pray.